The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 32. Franco Harris, 32.
The man.
50 years. The Immaculate Reception coming up in December. You're going to be seeing Franco everywhere. Franco, in fact, read the Steelers' first-round draft pick, and it was Kenny Pickett. I thought it was a moment. Here's why. Because Franco is arguably the most recognizable Penn State football alum.
Yeah.
Four-time Super Bowl champ, MVP, Hall of Famer.
He's in the airport, for crying out loud.
Right. So he gets to announce Pitt's quarterback as a Steeler. So we can all, can't we all just get along?
Right.
And then when Kenny Pickett flew back, he did the draft in Jersey with his family. When he flew to Pittsburgh, because he had to appear at Heinz Field for the fans and do interviews,
sure.
He took a picture with the statue of Franco at the airport.
Perfect.
And it was like, somehow everything came together and meshed.
That is the pick. I'm so glad they picked him. Art, the chief, the great chief, our saint of our city. Years ago, we know this famously. His biggest regret, one of the biggest regrets of the owner, was that he passed on Dan Marino. And I think that was in the mind of the Steelers.
You think?
Kevin's the best GM. Obviously, in football, you've seen he proved it with his record as he's retiring this year's last draft. I think he wanted to go out with that legacy of he was the best ready-made quarterback, small hands and all. He was the best ready-made quarterback in the draft, I believe. I'm 2 for 2, by the way. I feel like Mel Kiper. So I'm 2. I'm 2
right,
years.
The big
row.
Draft.
I picked Najee last year, and I picked. Pickett this year.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, my buddy said do something. But I've been wrong.
But think about
years
this.
To the last 2 years.
Kevin Colbert, by the way, he was just on my radio show. He's just a humble guy. It's never been about him, always about team. You know him very well over the years. You guys have been friends. We should have him on sometime when he has more time on his hands. His last day, by the way, is May 31st. Anyway, Sheila is little under the weather, little laryngitis. So
can't
on a podcast, that's problematic. That's problematic.
Yeah, and we can't get that either. We're out of business.
And by the way, Kenny Pickett.
You know.
Then the Steelers picked a receiver named Pickens. So eventually it could be Bill Hillgrove.
Pick of the Pickens.
It could be like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled Pickett to Pickens. Or you don't want him to be picked off.
Oh, yes. Pickett picked up. Let's get the T-shirt. Start brainstorming, everyone. Give us the T-shirt.
Oh.
Pickett picked off. Never picked off. I don't know. Pickett line. I don't know. Whatever. We just get them all.
By the way, I got to give our buddy Chris Eithen from Eithen USA up in Grove City a shout out because I was watching the draft. And the only reason I wanted to watch was to see where Kenny would go and then who the Steelers would pick. Right?
Right.
Not thinking that it would be the same moment. And then they did a little video about Kenny Pickett going around town. He was doing a charity event for the Boys and Girls Clubs. And he was wearing and passing out Chris Eithen-made shirts with the KP on it and PGT Trucking with Mr. Gallagher, Pat Gallagher, that owns PTG Trucking. So I took a screenshot and I said, Chris, and then he was in the video. I said, you made national television just from that one charitable moment.
You know, you told me a year ago almost, maybe somebody doesn't know that Larry's the voice of the Panthers along with being the voice of the Steelers. So we were talking about Pickett, and Larry said, this guy is going to be special. I mean, he's had, obviously had a great career leading up to senior year, but that's still, you said, hey, Jim, he's going to, this guy's going to first round, and this is before the season started. But you also said he was genuinely a really nice guy. You kept raving, going, man, this kid's just a good person. I'm like, really? Because, yeah, he's just a good person. And that means a lot for a teammate to have character, a good person, and that's one of the things that have helped the Steelers a lot, getting guys, you know, in the community like he is, obviously been in the community for as a Pitt player. They saw right. him in the building and saw the what you saw, but that was the cool thing about him. I remember you saying he's a good person.
So and
cool.
I just saw a tweet from him that Pittsburgh is now officially his home. Oh. So while he was at Pitt, he was a college student from Jersey.
Right.
Now but now Pittsburgh is his home, and it's a great combination of everything that's good, I think, for the team.
Oh.
And Kevin Colbert, what a way to go out. And
yeah,
you've heard me say this a bunch of times. You're only a half person from everybody. And you know who Kevin Colbert is a big fan of? Bruno Sammartino. Oh,
yeah, he's a Pittsburgh boy like us. We grew up, you know, North Side, and I grew up in the Strip. Kevin and I went to North Catholic together. Larry grew up in Millvale. And if you are, all ages, he actually crossed every demographic, to be truthful. I saw young and old that loved him when we were working on the movie that you're going to talk about in a minute, but of him, his life story, but his documentary. But it's if you're around our age within 10, 15 years, he was like God to us in Pittsburgh. He really was. This was like the man in Pittsburgh.
I grew up.
You know, we all wanted to be Bruno, like Bruno.
Three brothers.
I was in awe. It was like the biggest. I was lucky in my career. I got to interview, you know, two presidents, to you name every star, every rock star, most you name. I probably interviewed them or met them in my life. Fortunately, with the gig you have also, Lawrence, but Bruno may be the one that just is like, you know, him and Franco are like the two that just like make me just tongue-tied.
How blessed are we to say we're friends with both and had yeah. an extraordinary opportunity to journey to Italy with Bruno Sammartino. I want to share
kind of
the genesis of how that all happened, because yeah. a lot of people might not know. Younger people obviously might not be familiar with Bruno. Maybe some have heard of him if they have any hint of the wrestling world. And those that don't, the story is so compelling, how they escaped the Nazis and how he became the strongest man in the world. So the bottom line is he immigrates here at age 13. He's a 75-pound weakling. Malnutrition had set in.
Right?
He was
like
sickly.
Some serious sickness. He had like a malaria type.
How does that man, who didn't know the language, was bullied, become the strongest man in the world? Literally.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that. It's Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, San Sheila Highland today. We hope you can hear us because she listens. She's going to hear this.
That's our girl. She's the best.
She is. Love She's Sheila. Fantastic. And
we miss her.
We want to thank Face for Radio Productions, Jim Petolsky, and our producer, Dick Roberts, and appreciate being here at this Corby Wood Studio, which is such a cool space.
Yeah, John Ventos.
And place, yeah, they have a performance stage, and we'll make sure you know about that too. Coming up, Unfiltered. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Highland, episode 32. Excited to be here today because this week leads up to something that's, I think, a passion project of mine. You're very familiar with it.
You brought me in, thank God.
I'm so glad.
So well, I got to be part of it.
I want to share a story with you about you and Bruno that you may or may not be familiar with. So, Bruno Sammartino, the authorized biography of wrestling's greatest champion, is a documentary that I ended up helping produce, was a part of from the beginning, and a friend of ours, Marty Lazzaro, who you remember, Marty, who tragically passed away almost 7 years ago now, he was the real impetus for the documentary and wanted to do a feature film.
Mm-hmm.
But 33 years ago, I had a television show on KDKA-TV in the morning. It was called The Wake Up Show. And my producer says, we booked Bruno Sammartino. And like you and I talked about, Bruno Sammartino. But all I knew of Bruno, being a kid from Pittsburgh, was him as this hulking wrestling champion, and everybody loved Bruno.
Right.
So I told my father-in-law, the late Dan Marino Sr., I said, I'm pretty excited we booked Bruno Sammartino. He said, I went to school with him when he emigrated from Italy. They lived a block from each other in Oakland, and they went to Schenley High School.
Wow.
And he brought pictures in, and I was able to use those. So the next day on the air, I met Bruno. You just fell in love with a guy because you could tell he was truly humble and generous and kind.
I think it's like a saint in a way.
You're, yeah, you're even though he...
First rate human beings, a definition one, that's what he was.
Even though we all know he could snap your head off if he wanted to.
He was just genuine.
Yes, that's a great way to describe him. So we're all live on the air. This is live television. And he starts to tell the story about his childhood and being in Pizza Ferrad, this little pinprick of a town on top of the Apennine Mountains in Abruzzo, about 3.5 hours east of Rome, which we visited.
Right.
And you were there, Jim, just a small little village, and about the Nazis attacking that because it was a key observation point on top of the mountains. They could see 360 on top of that rock. Remember the rock in the middle of the town where the church was? On top of the hill.
That's what makes this documentary, that people have to see it. It's different than the sports documentary. It's different. It covers a lot of things, man. It's the World War II.
It's more about
like history and his life and his mom and drama.
That's the key. You mentioned it. His mother. Bruno would tell you, I had a tremendous physical ability to endure pain. Mm-hmm. However, if you mention his mother, he'd start tearing up. And it's because she, at age 48 then, risked her life weekly for 14 months because the Nazis came and killed a third of the men, women, and children in the village. An uncle grabbed his mother, brother, sister, and him and took them another day's walk deeper into the mountains where they had these tremendous snows and starvation. And she would sneak back into the village while German soldiers were sleeping in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to get into the storage area where they had some food stuff.
He had medicine for right. Bruno. He died, he said.
And he told me his mother was captured and shot. She escaped and made it back. So to Bruno, his mother was his hero. So the heart of a champion and the heart of a lion was developed because he wanted to make sure everything he did made his mother proud.
Right, right. Reflection of
the everything he did, he wanted to make sure that he honored his mother and father, who was trapped back here working in the mill in Pittsburgh during the war. When the war broke out, he didn't know what happened to his family for 3.5 years. Can you imagine?
Yeah, a nightmare.
That?
Yeah, they lived.
So I didn't know any of this. And at one point, their hideout had been discovered by two German soldiers who were on patrol in the mountains. They captured them. They lined them up to be executed with a machine gun set up to kill them. And Bruno said his mother hugged the kids and said, "Don't worry. We'll never be hungry. We'll never be cold.
Right.
On this day, we'll be with paradise in heaven together."
Right.
And just then, the resistance fighters that had followed the German soldiers had a feeling they might be discovered. So they knifed them to death.
Which shocked me, because I thought when Bruno told us the story, we were at a bar, which was amazing. We'd be sitting in a bar with Bruno every night in a hotel during his trip. And Larry said, "Jim, take this in, man. This is," and he's right. It was amazing. I said, "What?" I thought they shot them. He goes, "No, Jimmy, they snuck up and stabbed them." I'm like, "Oh my God.
I know.
How traumatic."
So here at the moment, he's this close to death. And Bruno cheated death a few times in his career and lifetime. But it just resonated with me where I was awestruck. This is live on television. He just told this story.
Yeah.
So
like, what is this?
I thought to myself, nobody knows this about Bruno.
Right, right.
So several years later, I'm at a charitable event. Bruno's getting an award. I'm the MC. He gets the award, comes up, very gracious and humble speech, sits back down. Well, I go back up. I'm like, wait a minute. You have no idea the rest of the story. So I tell the story to the 500 people at this dinner, and people were just blown away. Well, one guy in the back who I didn't know then was Marty Lazzaro. And Marty was so intrigued with this story, so he wanted to meet Bruno. He had a friend that knew him too, this Dr. Costa, and they ended up becoming friends and traveling to Italy. And Marty says, we've got to put together a documentary to tell this story. So years go by, and we visit 2010, and then we went back in 2017, the summer of 17, to this town where they put up a statue of Bruno. And you were there. You saw it was like Moses coming back to that town.
He was Tom Cruise in Italy. They were like a thousand. I mean, it's like you were with a Clooney or somebody, and everyone's like 2,000 people didn't want to touch him, talk to him. He had visited Italy a lot in his later years, and so he was a celebrity.
Do you remember how I was concerned, because I was around the corner by the statue for the ceremony, and there were hardly any people there?
Right.
And all of a sudden, the Pizza Ferrato band comes out. And did you see the sea of people? I mean, you were in the crowd. Remember, we looked around. We couldn't believe, where did everybody come from?
Yeah, it was great. It was wild.
And beautiful. It was 102 degrees, actual temperature, unusually hot. And Bruno had a sport jacket on. He was such a trooper because his health was failing.
I got a video where Bruno's walking up to the statue, and he looks at Larry and he goes, hey, Jimmy, hey, Larry, pretty cool, huh? We're laughing now. That's the greatest thing ever happened to us.
It's so awesome.
2,000 people. He looks at me and Larry, hey, Jimmy, hey, Larry, pretty cool, did. Huh? Like, yeah, man.
He goes, pretty cool, Jimmy, huh?
That's fun.
That is incredible. So we had promised, because so many people had come at Bruno over the years and wanted to do this and that. He said, after Marty Lazzaro passed, the movie sat. And this gentleman named Ken Brown and his wife Sharon had been working on this. And it was just kind of in a suspended state of animation. And some people had asked me, what's going on with the documentary? So I checked into it. So finally, we got a group, the HM3 Independence Fund group of guys. You know all those guys.
Yeah.
And Michael Young and Chris Cafardi and Christopher Martin and Craig Koryak. I don't want to miss anybody. And Pat Hampson. Everybody said, hey, let's finish this.
Yeah.
So we did. And but then we were hit with COVID, so it was delayed again. But two things I want to talk to you about, because we showed the version when we were in Italy in 2017, which was pretty much the finished version. We did some tweaks. But there was a scratch track narration, and we showed it to our tour group on the bus. And Jim goes, Larry, you gotta narrate this.
Yeah, because we were talking about, Larry and I, we're scratching, we're scrapping away as performers. We always are, and we're auditioning. Larry just did a audition for somebody, a huge national ad or something. And Larry, how many times in our lives are you gonna have a chance where you could say, you know what, you're I said, who, you're funding this and you're producing them, you're putting risk up. I say, why aren't you narrating? And you're qualified. It'd be different if it, like, it was like some sort of thing where, Larry's just really not.
Well, I want to thank
more than qualified.
I want to thank you for that, because
you should be, though. You should have.
You
been.
Told Bruno that, and Bruno said, absolutely, you should do it. And so when you and Bruno said, so we did it.
That's your thing.
And I ended up.
If you auditioned, they would pick you. That's what was crazy. It's like, why couldn't you? You have to do
it. We wanted Morgan Freeman, but we couldn't afford him. He was $1 million. So yeah, I was a lot cheaper.
Larry, do it. I'll take it. I'll take it from there. I'll do something else.
So anyway, and the other thing about Bruno was, he told me when I first mentioned your name, he goes, I know Jimmy. He was in the hospital, and you sent him flowers. And this is a long time ago.
We had done a charity thing together, and he was really nice. I'm in awe, Bruno. I couldn't believe he knew my name even. So he's talking me out, whatever we were talking, small. And I was like, oh, I'm so honored to meet you. And we start talking about working out. And I said, he's probably in his 70s at this point. And I'm like, hey, you know, he goes, hey, we should, you know, should do North Park sometime. I go, I'd love to walk North Park. That's about a 6.5-7 mile walk around the lake, whatever it is. And I go, I'd love to. He goes, what? I go, I'd love to walk. He's like 78 at the time. He goes, no, no, Jimmy, I mean run. What? Wait, what? What? Run. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, sure.
That's incredible.
I'll drive and pick you
he
up.
He never forgot that you had sent him flowers, because that's the first thing he told me, because I didn't know that you had met him and had a relationship.
A little
so
bit, yeah.
He was lucky. So gracious. Now, after he passed in April of 2018, tragically, 6 months later, one of his twin sons, Dan, also passed away from this blood infection, which was rare because he was somebody who took care of himself. So his brother, Daryl, who accompanied us on the trip, represents the family and his wife, Carol. So they're very excited about the release, which is May 17th on iTunes, Vudu, Apple, all the on-demand video, Armstrong, Comcast. There's a whole list.
And this is a legacy that should be living on forever, and it is. I mean, there are people that know about him. And in younger generation, this will help the younger generations know who this guy was. And if you think about it, it's yes, wrestling, was he entertaining? Yes, was he a great athlete? Yes, but it's who he inspired. It's not that life lesson. It's inspiration. It's a family thing with you and mom, and a connection with the mom, and how mom can lift the whole family up, and you can live off the strength and representation of the mom, and the fact that he was just a guy who inspired people, like in the movie Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who, think about that. Arnold Schwarzenegger is like, you know, it's a guy who, you know, Bruno is the greatest star. Inspired. But it's true, though. He's an immigrant. Mike Tyson. And came here and just off of an idea, off of belief in yourself, off of everything
America stands for.
Never give up. And he succeeds. And you think it was easy? It wasn't. It was just challenge after challenge. But he just kept getting off the mat. And it's basically kind of cool that Larry... It took a lot of work to get this done for Larry, and I'm real proud that you did it, Larry. Got to finish, and it's coming out now.
Yeah, and I want to tell you how you can get it.
And that's what we're talking about.
I want to tell you one more Bruno story about Bruno meets Bruno, as in Bruno Mars, which had something to do with Kevin Colbert, too, and Jimmy Sacco, who runs Heinz Field. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Sheila Hyland, episode 32 from Corbywood Studios, on this beautiful day in the burg. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 32. Sheila has laryngitis, so she's on the, what do they call that?
On the men, under the weather.
The DL list.
Yeah, she'll be back next week, though. It's just laryngitis, which is tough. Our nightmare for us.
Meanwhile, we want to tell you how you can get the Bruno Sammartino documentary. It's Bruno Sammartino, the authorized biography of wrestling's greatest champion. And the reason it's authorized is because this was approved by Bruno. The way the story was told, it is accurate. According to his recollections and his late sister and brother, Mary and Paul. So it's a very powerful story about really overcoming tremendous obstacles for immigrants to be in this country. And one of the cool things is that Bruno Mars in 2017 was performing at PPG Paints Arena. And somebody had mentioned this to Kevin Colbert, now former Steelers GM, that Bruno Mars was named after Bruno Sammartino because Bruno Mars' dad was a big fan.
I didn't know that until Larry told him. I was like, you're kidding. I was like, isn't that cool?
It was. And at first, Bruno Mars had no idea who Bruno was. He was just, I'm just named after some old fat wrestler, which didn't go over Bruno Sammartino's head. So it was arranged that we would meet Bruno. So I took Bruno down to the PPG Paints Arena. And he, when we hit the door, all the people that work in the arena went crazy. Now, the guy that was the liaison to take him into Bruno Mars' dressing room was from some other state. He had no idea because he was like, yeah, it was like a meet and greet, you know, mm-hmm. where they kind of, okay, meet the star, take the picture, sure. go away. But then when he realized this was the only thing on the list, when they sent Bruno Mars people a list of requests, no, meet Bruno Sammartino. This is absolute yes, he said.
That was all, yeah.
So we didn't know how it was going to go. So we walk into the dressing room. And there's Bruno Mars and just one other person in the room, his, whatever his title is, the guy that's
right-hand man, manager, yeah, whatever.
Consigliere. So the first thing he said was, Mr. Sammartino, which I thought was smart.
Hey,
give him the old school respect.
Gentlemen, yes.
Bruno Sammartino, appreciate it.
Right.
And he had asked me, should I bring him a gift or something? I said, well, if you have something, it might be cool to give him... So he can give it to his dad.
Sure. He's a huge fan.
Because his dad's still living. So Bruno Mars goes, and he goes, oh, my dad just texted me. I told him I was going to meet you. He was over the moon. He picks up his phone. And he goes, my dad says, tell Bruno he's the Muhammad Ali of wrestling. And Bruno was like, oh, that's very nice. And I brought something for your dad. And he pulled out this replica of his championship belt.
Which is an amazing gift.
And Bruno right. Mars' face lit up. And then they took a picture. Because they wouldn't let us take a picture, and mm-hmm. then they shared it with us. It went viral the next day. And Bruno Sammartino got calls from Associated Press, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, all over, because people never realized there was
the connection
of
the name.
That picture was the number one viewed picture on planet Earth that day. Believe it or not. So cool. I called Bruno. I said, champ, you're back on top. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you went viral. He still had no idea what that meant. I said, you're still the champ. So I said to Bruno Mars, I said, so you chose your stage name as a performer. You chose Bruno, mm-hmm. obvious reasons, because that was your dad's nickname for you. I said, well, why Mars? Because girls think I'm out of this world.
Yeah, he's pretty much got yeah, that
pretty
one covered.
Much,
pretty much.
Pretty much yep. the way he
yep.
dances. So
that's why I don't do Mars. I was going to use Mars.
You were going to use yeah, that? Jimmy Mars?
Just not, you're just not out of this no? world for me. No.
So after all these years.
I went for
all
Pluto
these...
and then Uranus twice. And then I said, now I'm going to go Kryn. I went all the planets.
Jimmy Saturn.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Jimmy Saturn's not bad. Sounds like
that's
a lounge.
Not bad.
Yeah, a good lounge singer in Vegas.
With
Jimmy Saturn.
Something with velour is involved.
Three shows Saturday. Jimmy Saturn.
So May 17th, full distribution, Gravitas Ventures, and it will be available on iTunes, Apple TV, all the video on demand services you can imagine, like Vudu, and DVD, Blu-rays also. So this is the dream of a lifetime.
That's a major distributor, too, Gravitas. I've done 7 movies, and only one has been nationally distributed, called Another You, and it was Gravitas who did it.
So
I mean, you'll see the Gravitas. So it's a major league, release, which is something that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, really, it's hard to make a movie. First off,
well, if you want
a documentary or a feature film, but it's just tough. And then you get it the release like that, you should be really happy.
After 30 years, I'm
right?
more than happy. It's hard to explain.
Bruno's looking down on us, man.
You could go to brunosammartino.org. Has all the information there. We got all the social media channels covered. And
it's like there's a sale. There's some kind of, you allowed to talk about the sale? Some kind of blast sale?
If you're listening to this, May 11th through the 15th, a flash sale on man. iTunes, where you can own it for just $6.99.
There you go.
I mean, you go to Starbucks, you're going to spend that if you go with somebody.
People do that sometimes. Come
right.
on, $6.99.
So,
it'd be great.
And a portion of the proceeds are going to go to the Bruno Sammartino Foundation, which they wanted to help young families who are struggling with food insecurity.
Wow.
So it's a good thing. My thanks to the Sammartino family.
It's great.
WWE, Triple H, everybody involved from the beginning, dedicated to the late Marty Lazzaro. And thank you, Jim, because you've been a big proponent of this and supporter.
I'm going to the Academy Awards with you when you get nominated.
You're part of it.
I'm going to be on the carpet with you.
You're part of it. So
what am you wearing? What am I wearing? We'll say.
Who am I wearing?
Who am I wearing?
Who am I wearing?
I wear a thrift store.
Yeah, pretty excited about it. I hope people like it, and it's the story Bruno wanted to tell. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Want to thank Jim Patulski, Face for Radio Productions. Dick Roberts, our producer. Download our free Audacy app, AUDACY, or simply go to kdkradio.com. Episode 32, Jim, that's a wrap.
Nice.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.